We open our Bibles together to Psalm 107, verses 23 through 31. As I mentioned earlier, we have had sermons guiding us in studying, I say the doctrine of, maybe that's a bit of an overstatement, but studying these themed topics that come up in Scripture often about different things, often God's creation. We've studied rain, we've studied snow, we studied the mountains and the rocks, the heavens. Tonight we study the sea or the ocean, and I pray the Lord will cause us to wonder in Him, and we who live so close to the Pacific Ocean, I pray that the Lord will cause us to take advantage of that even this week and perhaps go with this psalm or other psalms like Psalm 104 we sang and sing it or read it looking out over the ocean and just be blessed by His general revelation being spoken to us by His special revelation. Hear now the word of God about the works of God also speaking to us. Psalm 107, verses 23 through 31. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro, stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so He bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. I wanted to study the sea, the ocean with you this evening because of where I found myself as the sun was setting. Abraham was surfing on the coast of Coronado yesterday at sunset, trying out his new surfboard for the first time, and rented a wetsuit for the first time, which turned out to be a very good idea this time of year, and in the Pacific Ocean. In response to our concerns to be safe, namely, we're concerned about sharks. That's why should we let them surf? I want to surf. I don't know. What about sharks? It's interesting what he said, and he repeated this after he surfed yesterday. He says, you know, I'm much less afraid of sharks than I am of the waves. And I watched him, and I enjoyed watching him, but they pounded him a bit, and they weren't even the big ones. We actually chose Coronado rather than Imperial Beach. He has an application on his phone that kind of gives you a sense of where the waves are big, and as he's still needing to grow in his swimming ability, and he's a novice with surfing, he was wise to pick a place that would be most safe. So even these waves were not the big ones. And I watched him, though, and it's a challenge to get up on the board and sometimes just to get through a wave because it's not the one you're choosing, even if it's already capped and it's just the white wave part of the wave crumbling at you. Very powerful. And most of you probably know that experience, at least as we're kids, maybe boogie boarding, and the wave kind of takes you and slams you down and twirls you in somersaults. I remember New Jersey Beach growing up. That would often be my experience. And there are times when you're like, I need to get up. Please, I need to get up over the water now. This doesn't feel too safe. The water is powerful. The waves are so powerful, even the smaller ones. Verses 26 to 28, the first part, speak of that in our Psalm 107. Verse 26, they mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. And actually, I should say the second part of verse 25 really begins this thought about the waves. Forgive me. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord. Verse 28. And as you're reading that, did you kind of feel that? You can almost feel, you know, you've seen a movie of ships far out in sea, and if it's one of those movies where a lot of them are true stories, really incredible, you see that sea, that waves, and the boat's just flying up, and you're like, how in the world is it not going to tumble over? And then the depths going down, or, you know, the rocking, the back and the forth. I don't want to make any of you seasick right now, right? But, you know, you can sense that power the psalm is expressing even with other imagery, some interesting imagery it provides, actually. But the sense of not being able to stand upright, you know, and they're at their wit's end. Ah! And they cry out to the Lord because it's so powerful. The waves are so powerful. And yet, God is way more powerful than the waves. Look at verse 25 again. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. The second part of verse 28 and onward. He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them into their desired haven. So particularly, you have this idea of God sending the storms, but also able to still the storms and bringing the sea merchants who are often at the mercy of the waves, really at the mercy of God, and he brings them into their haven. What that sense of, we've made it to the harbor, right? We're safe. God is in the power of all of that. So we see that in Jonah 1, verse 4, God sent the stormy sea against the boat of Jonah to throw him overboard and then to save him in it. And we see that God calms the sea, as he did for Jonah, and he does it as he sees fit. Psalm 65, verse 7 proclaims, God stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves. He can send these huge waves, and he can still these waves. Anybody else ever been able to do that? No. Right? God shows his mighty power in his providential control of the oceans and seas. And we should get there to behold him and glorify him in it. I give that to you as the main point of our text this evening. God shows his mighty power in his providential control of the oceans and seas, of course, which he also created. And we should get there to behold him and glorify him in it. It is a place of profound peace and protection when contemplated directly. It's one thing to remember and study and think about the ocean as we are. It's another thing, try to get there this week. I challenge you. Here's your homework. Try to get to the ocean this week. At least the bay. Try to get to the ocean for the full effect of those waves. And bring this psalm with you. Some of the other scriptures we'll think about tonight. Or listen to the sermon later on sermon audio. Just sit there, and I think you'll have a special moment. I remember Abraham and I once were at the bay, and it was very wavy and rocky, and we opened up the scripture that spoke about Jesus walking on the waves, and it gives a whole new appreciation for walking on waves, you know, and in the wind and his power. It's a glorious thing to contemplate directly as you watch and feel it and sense it. Jeremiah 31, verse 35 says this. Thus saith the Lord, which divideth the sea, when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. It's pretty similar to other things he spoke of. This speaks of the stars, and I've shortened that section. But he points to, among other things of creation, the seas. And he says, if they stop roaring their waves and going back and forth, there's a real rhythm to it, right? Even high and low tide, and we know it's connected to the moon. He says, if that just stops, well, then you can be concerned about whether my covenant may stop with you. And the point of it is, that's not going to stop. I'm in control of that. So I'm certainly in perfect control of keeping you in covenant with me. He is so powerful to keep control of the roaring waves. So he is over the church's existence. So it's a comfort to us as we go and look at the oceans and think, he made all this. And it's, you know, you get that sense of, whoa, that's a big ocean. That's kind of scary. Like, how do you go out there, some of these guys in those boats and ships? But it gives you a sense of his power, that he's involved in all of it and created it and controls it all. Psalm 46, verses 2 to 3. One of our psalms for a sermon a few weeks ago. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. We will not fear. Well, how can that be said? He's in charge of it all. And that's why it can be said in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Thus, beloved, we should go see, S-E-E, God's power manifested in the rising and ebbing tides of the sea, S-E-A. A little bit of test for you, some of our younger children. S-E-E is go look at it. S-E-A is what to go look at. Go see the sea. We should go see God's power manifested in the rising and ebbing tides of the sea and its rolling, billowing pulse. Verses 23 and 24 say, some people that go there get to see this. You get to experience it. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. He's saying those who, their business in life is to be, you know, merchant mariners going from one port to the next, delivering goods, they see God's magnificence in a way that others don't unless you go there. There, at the sea and at the ocean and on the sea and the ocean, we witness with our eyes, with our ears, with our skin and our nose, and maybe often with our taste, depending on who likes seafood. We witness God's mighty works, and thus we will be moved to magnify him. And that's the idea. Look at verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You see, in verse 8, the same thing is said. In verse 15, the same thing is said. There's this refrain, oh, that men would glorify and worship God, the amazing creator and sustainer of all things. And then different examples are given of why we should and how we can. And we're focusing on the one, oh, that we would give glory to God for his goodness to men as we would go look at the ocean. After all, where does a lot of our food come from? I know some of us are more Midwestern meat and potatoes kind of folks, but a lot of us, and Fernanda says she grew up on the ocean, her father fished, she grew up on a lot of seafood, and she loves it. I mean, she just loves the seafood. I mean, so much food comes to us from the sea. Okay, most of us at least will enjoy a tuna fish sandwich sometimes, right? But have you seen some of the statues, like on Shelter Island, this gigantic tuna fish? It's a, you know, it's a statue, and there's three men with three poles attached to one cable and a gigantic hook just to pull that thing out into the boat. I mean, they're huge. These fish are amazing, and they're just all in there, which is like, ooh, I'm not sure I want to go out too deep there, you know. But it's something that should cause us awe and wonder and be thankful. All this is happening. It's happening all the time. God's involved in it all, and we're almost never thinking about it. And yet it's all happening. To go there and witness and remember and watch it can give us a sense of awe and mystery and wonder that we're supposed to have and respond back in praising God in a way that we can often lose in our busy day-to-day life between our television and our refrigerator and our car, maybe on occasion our bike and our other computer at work, whatever the case may be. You know, we can just kind of lose sight of the grandeur and glory of God, and to go see his witness in general revelation. And in this case, the ocean is a marvelous opportunity for us to show us how marvelous is our God. Beloved, go stand your bare feet in the surf of the Pacific and look out and imagine your Lord Jesus Christ walking on the crashing waves as if on a glassy sea. And imagine him commanding them to be still and then they're just silenced. Or imagine him picking you up and causing you to walk upon them yet still raging. Because we saw those things happen in Matthew. And imagine that as you're there looking at it and try to take that in and respond to the Messiah there as in Matthew 8:27. When they beheld such things and responded, but the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? This is how we should be thinking about and responding to and worshiping Jesus. Beloved, gaze out to the horizon where the sea kisses the water, where the sky, excuse me, kisses the water. And say Psalm 89, verse 9, if you can contain yourself from singing it. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Just give glory to God and say that. Those waves I'm seeing, that tide coming in and out, those movements and the bubbles, you're doing this, God. You're doing all of this, God. The Hebrew word, when it says making the storm calm in verse 29, the word for making the storm calm could be translated hushed. And isn't that something powerful thing if God says, hush! In the sea and ocean, right? I mean, that's Jesus spoke to the sea. Hush! I mean, that should give us goosebumps, shouldn't it? I mean, just a little bit of movement of water and sea, and we're heading for our cars, you know, back to inland part of Chula Vista, getting cozy, right? And he, hush! And if we go to the ocean and think about these things, go when it's wavy and raging a bit, as much as we can. Go when it's calm and take in the... Have you ever noticed you go to the ocean different days and sometimes the ocean's blue and sometimes the ocean's gray? It just has to do with the sky and all the different things with weather, with Christ is in control of all of it. It'd be good to go and almost journal and keep a record for a few weeks. Today it's gray. Today I saw this. Today I saw a stingray. Today I saw a starfish. I mean, it's so exciting. I mean, just go to Embarcadero and you can look down. Or if you go to Shelter Island and walk near the marina, we saw a whole bunch of little, well, I don't know if they're stingrays. I don't know my rays. You probably do. One time we were there a long time ago, Coronado, and there were a bunch of rocks, and there was this, it was a big ray. I don't know what kind. It was had like a diamond-shaped head and a long tail. I'm sure you'll tell me what it was later in the life. Everybody was around it, and it was not able to get out to the sea because of low tide. And so even though, you see, the animals are reliant on the Lord and all these things he's in control of, so the lifeguard and others got him with a towel and brought him back out to sea. But it's just marvelous to go and witness those things. I mean, just alone, go enjoy a seagull. My wife just can't get over seagulls, and she's had them in her Brazil, I'm pretty sure. But they are really beautiful, aren't they? I mean, just go marvel. Just careful to open your sandwich, then they're going to be looking at you, but you know, coming after you. But there's just so much to see and be impressed with and to be startled by and to be intimidated and careful about and sober about life and God and the delicacy of life and the need to depend on the Lord for everything. Revelation 20, verse 13 even says that the seas will give up their dead to be judged. Isn't that something to consider? Look out over the horizon and consider, where are the dead buried beneath the blue? And God says that he will raise them all up out of the watery graves at judgment day. Profound to consider what that might look like. You know, the sea and the ocean often in Scripture represent fear, danger, and separation in the Bible, thinking about fear and danger, I asked Fernanda if she recalls anything her father might have spoken to her about the sea and ocean, because he was in the Navy, and he was a fisherman, and he was out all the time on the ocean, the boats bringing fish in. And her one recollection, because he went to be with the Lord when she was quite young, she says, the only thing I can remember is one time one of his friends went out to sea, and they never found him. That's the thing. It's this vast, huge, open area. None of us want to be stranded at sea, right? Chances of survival are slim. And he went out on his own boat, never to return, never to be found. The sea and the ocean can represent fear and danger and separation, right? Oceans can literally divide us, and they're a challenge to cross, even with our modern technology. Revelation 21, verse 1, you might remember, therefore, has a pretty powerful thing that is said in a vision, in imagery. So I don't know that it's necessarily literal in the end, but it does have this point. It says, in the end, in heaven, there will be no more sea. Now, if you're like me, it's kind of like, I kind of like the sea and the ocean. What's it representing? It's representing there'll be no more separation from our loved ones in Christ. Death will not keep us separated anymore. Remember, John is writing in the Revelation from the island of Patmos, right? And he's writing to the churches of Asia across the sea, and he can't be with them. He is essentially in prison and for the gospel, and he can't be with them. And so that idea of revealed to him of no more sea would be profound for him, all isolated and alone from the brethren of the church. Those are these different ideas that are communicated to us by thinking and meditating on the sea and the ocean and different aspects of it in God's work. Beloved, may you listen to the ocean and learn from it about God. I don't know if you've ever tried this. It comes to mind. You know those conch shells? I think you got to go to the Bahamas to get them or something. Or you probably can get them in some thrift stores. But you get the big conch and you can listen. And they always say you can hear the ocean. You know, I don't know how true that is. I mean, it's not really the ocean, but I guess it kind of sounds like the ocean, whatever the acoustics are, right? I tell you what, if it really is the ocean, that's a pretty good cell phone plan we should be looking into, actually. But you know, that idea of listening to the ocean, we can learn something. Stop and listen as you might a conch shell. What do you have to hear? See, if you listen to the ocean, you can learn from it about God. Job 12, verses 8 to 10. Speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee. And the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? It says, go to the ocean, look at the sea, look at all of these animals, and they will tell you, they will just speak to you and what they're doing and who they are, that God exists, that God is glorious. I can't even help but think with Vovo, Grandma, I was going to say the wrong grandma's name here, sorry, the Hosa. Carmelita. A few years ago, we were walking the Imperial Beach Pier. Somebody had caught I think it was a small leopard shark, maybe, and it was just flipping around on the deck, and we were all like, oh, and Carmelita just went and grabbed it by the tail, threw it back in the ocean. But it was like, you know, I don't know what that is. What are you doing? You know, there's so many things that come out of the ocean, which is why I tend to just dip my toes in the surf mostly. But these things all speak to us. Like, I didn't even know it was there. And it's as if we bring it up for a little while, and it's on the deck flapping around, and it's as if it's saying to us, God is the mighty creator. God is the mighty sustainer of you and me and all things in this ocean and this sea. Hear what it has to say. Psalm 29, verse 3. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. And that is reflected in Revelation 19, verse 6, speaking of the sound of all the worship of God. And of course, the voice of Christ is also expressed that way in the Revelation. Listen to the ocean and learn those things, and then respond. Respond with Psalm 104, verses 24 to 27. Verse 24, as you know, is our theme verse for the Van Locos family when we're out hiking through nature or going to the zoo. We like to stop observe something and sing verse 24. But it goes into, it's kind of our stepping stone into the ocean here with what follows. Psalm 104, 24 to 27. O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom thou hast made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. Take that part of the psalm and go to the ocean with you and look for those things. And, you know, it also talks about things like birds and it seems like pelicans perhaps. There's a lot in Psalm 104 you could go and just proclaim God's glory looking at his creation. But namely here we see the sea and all that's playing therein and all waiting on God for its food. And then we see how many things are teeming in the ocean waiting on God for the food. It's incredible. Just in our little part of the ocean. It's so vast, isn't it? Respond with Isaiah 42, verse 10. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. It says, or you might say, someone says, I'm going to the beach today. Sing unto the Lord, ye that go down to the sea. Before you rent that paddleboard or whatever, I guess we wouldn't do that on the ocean, whatever it is, that surfboard or whatever it is, before you throw your line into the water, sing unto the Lord, ye that go down to the sea. There is so much there to behold and glorify the Lord. So many of the Psalms, which are written to praise and sing to God, speak about this. Psalm 42, verse 7, deep calleth unto deep. And the noise, at the noise of thy water spouts, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Beloved, go and think deeply by looking into the depths of the ocean and losing yourself there as you encounter God and all that God is doing there and far more beneath or beyond your ability to observe. That's the profound thing, too. We might catch a couple of fish, somebody next to us. Wow, what else might be down there, right? What else is going on there? We might catch a glimpse of things on a sunny day in some shallow water, but you ever watch some of these documentaries and programs where they show you what's deep down there and all these things? Like, this is incredible. But it's beyond your and my ability to behold how deep below and how far beyond. But if I may, let me share two stories, as it were, to bring us there a little more and get a little more to be able to rejoice in the Lord over. First, I share with you Jean Delary's History of a Voyage to the Land of Brazil. He was a Reformed missionary in the 1600s, and he shares about going to Brazil and coming back and trying to do some witnessing while he's there. He's mostly joining, these sailors and those mostly looking to discover and bring back riches. He's French, Calvinistic, but he keeps a journal about the whole experience, and it's really tremendous to read through. What I want to highlight for you is chapter 3 of his book, where he describes the amazing variety of fish and porpoises, birds, sharks, sea tortoises seen along the way to Brazil. In part of that chapter, he writes, "From that time on, we had a frothy sea and so fair a wind that we were pushed to 3 or 4 degrees this side of the equator. There, we caught a great many porpoises, dorado, albacore, bonitos, and a large quantity of several other kinds of fish." I had always thought, before I continue, I want to say, by the way, as he goes over each of these fish, he describes what they're like, and he describes what they're like to eat. These guys ate everything. They ate dolphins. I mean, they ate everything. And he talks about, you know, filleting them and different ways to eat them. It's quite amazing. He imagines a sauce, I think, from Germany that would just be great if you had it here for a certain fish, you know. So he mostly talks about how they are to eat, but he also just describes all these different fish. He goes on to say, I had always thought that the sailors who spoke of flying fish were telling us tales. However, experience showed me that they really did exist. We began to see big schools of them jump out of the water and soar into the air, flying almost as high as a pike's length, and sometimes to a distance of more than 100 paces. Since often it even happened that some would hit against the masts and fall into our ships, we could easily catch them in our hands. Can you imagine, like, raining, flying fish raining over you, hitting you off, flying in? I think I've seen, I don't know if it's the Mississippi River, but one of the main rivers, I think the middle of the nation, south, there's these fish that have come from China, I think, and have just taken over the rivers. These things are gigantic, and they just jump up and fly around, and I think they're pretty dangerous. Some people have gotten hurt, you know. It's just incredible, these things. He goes on to say, when the sea begins to stir itself up, the porpoises appearing suddenly on the water in the midst of the waves and billows that toss them about, even at night, turn the sea green, and indeed seem themselves to be all green. It is a great amusement to hear them blow and snort. You would think that they really were ordinary pigs, such as we have on land. So you can hear, can you imagine being out there and these things sound like pigs? I mean, I never would have thought porpoises sounded like that out there. When the mariners see them swim, he continues, about and bestir themselves in this way, they take it as a sure sign of an approaching storm, which I have often seen borne out. He says, you know, they tell me when these animals get all kind of stirring about and crazy, usually a storm's coming. He says, usually that is true. Charles Spurgeon gave a sermon on Psalm 95, verse 5, to a special group of people once. Psalm 95, verse 5, he focused on the part of the verse that says, the sea is his, and he made it. And he gave this sermon to the British and Foreign Sailors Society. And the name of the sermon was, the sea, the wide and open sea. And he shares in part in the sermon, or I share in part with you from this sermon, the palpitating heart of the sea, with it perpetual tide, tells of God's present life, its alternate advance and retreat at his bidding, prove his present majesty. I trust many of my seafaring friends have often felt near to God when alone upon the vast deep. Far out at sea, the sailor is free. Often, I have no doubt, when you have been alone, watching at night, pacing the deck to and fro, and looking up to the bright stars, you have thought, God is very near me now. He goes on to share this particular story. He says, I remember when going to Hamburg, I stood at night with the captain upon the upper deck, and suddenly a light seemed to rush down the mast and light up the rigging and the whole ship in such a manner as I never saw before. For an instant, the vessel seemed to be on fire, and then the light was gone. What is that? I said. What is that? Said he, for neither of us knew, but we felt awestruck. Seafaring men meet with them often, strange things that we landlubbers never dream about. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. What's he quoting there? The first two verses of our psalm tonight, Psalm 107, verses 23 and 24. God seems to come very near to those who are on the waters, he continues. When the wind howls and the sea booms, the noise would suffice to drown 1,000 volleys of artillery. Beloved, with all that said, we live in an amazing place. You know, as I was sitting there in the foldable chair, comfortably with my toes slightly touching the surf coming in and out where Abraham risked it in the waves, I'm just looking around to Point Loma, the other side, Hotel Del, and this beautiful water and this gigantic ship kind of parked on the top of the water out there, and looking at the expanse and the sun coming down and these waves crashing and all the noise, and then the peaceful kind of tranquil flowing of the ripples that meet and kiss and fade into one another on the sand, and the shells, picked up a couple shells, and I said, this is just amazing. Why am I not here all the time? There's something that happens to you when you go hang out at the ocean and spend time with God in that special way and marvel in its vastness and greatness and teeming of life and power and know that God is controlling it all. You can go to the mountains in this amazing place, and you can be taken to the rock that is higher than you are for heavenly perspective of God's high glory. And you can go to the ocean, dance in the waves, or look over a pier and peer into and ponder the depths of his power and mysterious works all on behalf of men. And I encourage you to do that, the latter, this week. Be blessed beholding the deep. Go to the sea to see God's mighty works. That's the message for you this evening. I won't check to make sure you've done it, but I encourage you to do it. Bring some of these scriptures with you. Just sit a chair down in the sand or find a park bench in the grass, whatever you prefer, and just look out over the ocean with these scriptures and take it in and speak them and sing them back to God and glory in him. And be blessed by his greatness. Go to the sea to see God's mighty works. You're so close. You know, some people never get a chance to ever go see the ocean. Where you live, you can go at any moment. Go often, bring these scriptures with you, and glory in the depth of your Lord as you behold the depth of the sea. Let us pray. Oh, Lord God, we do glory in you. We marvel in you. You have made all these things. The earth is full of thy riches, including the depths of the sea, the ocean. Oh, Lord, those who go to the sea can glory in you and witness and see special things that can only be beheld there. If we can't get there, Lord, for certain reasons, let us turn on a documentary that brings us deeper and farther than we could go personally, and let us marvel in you. There are so many ways to learn and listen to the ocean and what it speaks to us of you. And Lord, let us join in speaking with them, saying, how magnificent are you, Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and all them wait upon you for their food. Lord, encourage us as we go home tonight that it is rather, we could say, what a mighty God we serve. And we pray in Jesus' name, and all your marveling saints say, Amen.